Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Johnson. Hope you guys are having a great week so far. We're here for another edition of AEW Dynamite. Before we get started, though, I do want to talk about a couple of newsworthy things that have gone on this week when it comes to AEW. The first one is the big news of the week. I hate to start on a sour note, but I do feel like this needs to be brought up and talked about. As you most of you have probably heard, Sammy Guevara has been suspended indefinitely from AEW. For some comments he made on a podcast a couple of years ago pertaining to Sasha Banks from the WWE. I'm not going to say exactly what Sammy said, but if you guys look for it, you can figure it out. It was a bad thing for Sammy to say, especially with the movement going on right now, which is a different conversation for a different podcast. But, you know, Sammy made some comments that were not good, that were pertaining towards Sasha Banks. I do think Sammy's a different person now. You can tell that he's really grown up a lot. Yeah, he's made a couple of public statements, and Sasha Banks has made a public statement about it. I try to keep this podcast lighthearted, and I don't want to dive too much into it or give too in depth of an opinion, but I'll tell you guys that I do think this is the right move for AEW to make. I think you do have to make an example out of this, and you know, it is going to stink to see Sammy gone for a little while, but it is the right move, and I think Sammy accepts his punishment for for what happened. And I do think this is a learning experience for a lot of people. So, it is going to be a bit, like I said, till we see Sammy Guevara, but hopefully he grows from this. Hopefully he becomes a bigger person from this. I do think he's a different person now than he was back then, but this is only going to help him out even more. And hopefully this is something that everybody can move on from. And, you know, Sammy can be a prominent player in AEW going forward. I still think he is one of the futures of this company. And I think this is just kind of a hiccup in the road. So, we'll see Sammy back sooner or later. Hopefully not too much later from now. But I do want to make it known that I do agree with AEW's decision to suspend him indefinitely. So, we'll move on from that. A couple of notes heading into Dynamite. We originally had a match with FTR taking on the team of Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. Unfortunately, QT Marshall came into contact with somebody that had COVID-19 this week, so he got pulled from the card, and now we're getting a huge matchup with FTR taking on SCU that's going to be consisted of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, so that is going to be a massive matchup tonight. QT Marshall, as far as I know, has not tested positive for COVID-19, but he was in contact with somebody that did have it, so hopefully he doesn't get it, and he's able to get a negative test and come back by next week, because he's been a highlight of Dynamite the last couple of weeks. I've really enjoyed watching him, but he's actually not the only person that's gotten removed from the card this week. AEW World Champion Jon Moxley also came in contact with somebody with COVID-19, and he informed the organization that he had, so they sent him home for tonight. Also, he was slated to be in action with Taz on commentary, but now they've said that Brian Cage will be in action with Taz on commentary, so a little bit of a change there. I mentioned Sammy Guevara earlier. Sammy was supposed to face Matt Hardy tonight, and Sammy was going to choose what persona Matt Hardy was going to be, but now Matt Hardy will be taking on Santana from the Inner Circle, and the fans will choose what Matt Hardy is going to be, so that'll be fun. That's going to be a fun change. Also tonight we're going to be getting the team of Mr. Brody Lee and Colt Cabana taking on Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. So we'll be continuing that storyline to see where Colt Cabana stands when it comes to the Dark Order. And then also on the docket, we got Luchasaurus taking on Wardlow in a lumberjack match. So a couple of the two big hosses going at it tonight. So it's going to be a fun night, guys. I know a lot of it's changed over the last couple of hours, but I still think AEW is going to put on a great show tonight. But before we get started, also, guys, I got to tell you guys, make sure to subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you guys get your podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe. And you guys on Apple Podcast, make sure you leave us a five-star review. Let us know what you guys think of all the shows. All right, guys, without further ado, let's get into this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So Dynamite starts off this week with our big lumberjack match with Wardlow taking on Luchasaurus. And this match went about how most of you guys would expect this match to go. Just hard hitting right off the bat. Both these guys just throwing lumber at each other. No pun intended with it being the lumberjack match, of course. But the guys end up fighting over to the ramp where Wardlow hits a gut wrench slam to kind of gain the momentum. But they end up fighting over to the... to the stage area. Brandon Cutler gets up there and Wardlow ends up throwing Cutler off the top. Marco Stunt gets involved. Wardlow tosses him like 20 feet in the air, it seemed like, onto the lumberjacks down below. And this distracted Wardlow enough for Luchasaurus to hit a spin kick to knock Wardlow off of the stage onto the lumberjacks. And then in one of the most impressive things I've seen in a long time, Luchasaurus hits a shooting star press off the stage onto the lumberjacks below. Yeah, Luchasaurus, who's like 6'7", 6'6", 6'7", 240, 250 pounds, did a shooting star press off of the stage to the floor. And it was incredible. You know, I knew Luchasaurus was a freak athlete and he does some crazy stuff in the ring, but I was not expecting him to bust out a shooting star press. It was a sight to see. So if you guys missed it, make sure you guys go back and watch that. The action finally got back to the ring and Luchasaurus hit his big choke slam, but MJF gets on the apron to distract the referee. That makes Jungle Boy attack MJF. This distracts Luchasaurus, and Wardlow hits the F10 for the victory. So big win for Wardlow here. Besides his loss against Cody, if I'm not mistaken, I think Wardlow's undefeated as well. Besides the cage match to Cody, so I think he's got a nice record going too. I know we always talk about MJF and how he hasn't been pinned or submitted in AEW, but you know, Wardlow's up there as well. And the announcers have been kind of talking about Wardlow maybe eventually breaking away from MJF and becoming a star on his own. So, you know, maybe that's something that we see sooner than later. I think it's definitely got a possibility. Wardlow could be a big babyface. I think he's got the potential for it, especially if he ends up feuding with MJF once their breakup happens. So, but I think that's still a little ways down the line. I think this team is going to stay together for a while. But they are continuing the feud between MJF and Jungle Boy, which we saw last week. You know, they got in a big brawl here, and everybody jumped in. The Lumberjacks jumped in to separate them. And finally, Wardlow got MJF out of there, and they walked to the back. So, good segment. You know, good match. Very hard-hitting by the two Hosses. And then we got some continuation with Jungle Boy and MJF. So, I like that they are continuing this feud. I think I've said it last week that this is a natural feud. Both these guys are really young, talking about MJF and Jungle Boy. And I think this is a feud that's going to go on for many, many years. I think these guys are going to be kind of the big rival for each other, and it's going to work out great. I think both these guys are going to elevate each other. They have great chemistry in the ring, and it's just, I love it. I love it. I think this is going to be a fun feud for the foreseeable future. Next up, we have the AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida in action. Well, we thought she was going to be in action. She comes to the ring and gets ready for her match, but she sees Penelope Ford in the crowd, and as you guys know, she'll be defending the AEW Women's Champion against Penelope Ford at Fighter Fest next week. Penelope Ford says something to her, and it gets Sheeta's attention. Sheeta jumps out of the ring, gets to Penelope Ford's face, and they start brawling. And Sheeta ends up jumping over the barricade and starts her and Penelope just start throwing hands. And Kip Sabian gets involved and tries to separate them, and it's a fun little brawl between these two. They're starting to make it kind of personal, and I know there hasn't been a whole lot of build to this because it's been kind of last minute for the most part, but I think this is going to be an interesting matchup next week. You know, Penelope Ford, I've been a little hard on her. You know, I've talked about that she's had a couple of issues in the ring a few times, but I think overall she's done a pretty good job, and especially lately she's had some good matches. She's had some big wins under her belt, so I think her and Sheeta are going to have a really good match. It's definitely a different type of match than we saw with Sheeta and Nyla Rose at Double or Nothing. because it is going to be a regular match, not a no disqualification match. So they won't be fighting across the arena or anything like that. But both these ladies are very good in the ring, and I think they're going to have some really good chemistry together. So I'm expecting a very, very good women's match, women's title match between these two. But you know, this was fun, fun little segment. You know, just a quick pull apart between the two ladies. You know, the people in the crowd getting involved and stuff like that to separate them. It was cool. It was fun for what it's worth, and it got me excited for the match next week. Next, after this, we see a press conference from earlier in the day between Cody and Jake Hager getting ready for their TNT Championship match next week. You have the entire Nightmare family sitting there, and on one side, on the other side, are just a bunch of empty chairs. And they said that Hager had not shown up yet, but a couple of people in the press asked a couple questions to Arn and to Cody to, you know, just about the match and about Cody's title reign so far. And finally, Jake Hager ends up showing up, and he walks up the stairs, and they do a little photo op, and pretty much Hager puts his fist out to Cody's face. Cody's got this look on his face that he's not impressed. And finally Cody has enough and kind of slaps Hager's arm out of the way. And before, you know, a fight starts, the Nightmare family kind of grabs Cody, keeps him from doing it. But when Cody turns around, Jake Hager's wife is there, and she throws a glass of water in Cody's face, and Cody kind of laughs it off. Dustin gets involved and, you know, and is trying to start something, but they end up taking him back and keeping him from doing anything. And then Cody finally just says, this is it, you know, it's over, the, you know, we're going to move on, the press conference is over and stuff like that. So it was okay. You know, it, as much as the last segment got me ready for the women's match, this one really didn't do a whole lot for me, honestly, to get me hyped up for the TNT Championship match. The match itself is what hypes me. I think Cody and Hager are going to have an incredible match. You know, definitely going to be the toughest test for Cody since he's got the title. In my opinion, that's taken nothing away from Jungle Boy and Mark Quinn and them. I just, you know, Jake Hager is a different animal. So I'm expecting a good match between these two. I wouldn't be surprised if Hager won this title, guys. I said the same thing about Hager against Moxley when he fought him in the open, the empty arena match, and I ended up being wrong. But, you know, we've been talking about Cody possibly dropping the title to a big heel, either a big heel or an up and comer. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see Hager win this title to get some gold in the inner circle. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be a, well, I was going to say it's going to be a main event, but I guess it's not, considering we know the tag team title match is going to be one. And, of course, Moxley versus Cage is going to be the other one. But I'm expecting to be a very high-profile match when this match happens. So, yeah, I'll be honest, the press conference was okay. Didn't do a lot for me. But, like I said, the match itself I'm super hyped for. So I think it's going to be an awesome match between these two guys. Next up, we got a tag team match pitting the new team of Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss taking on Mr. Brody Lee and Colt Cabana. Now, a couple of mixing storylines here. There's been some videos posted on YouTube recently of Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss, you know, kind of hanging out together. We saw it, I think, last week on Dynamite. The week before, Joey Janela and his new lifestyle, I guess, and his new friendship and team with Sonny Kiss. And there's been an extended version of a video that they did together at a gas station or something. It's very interesting, so make sure you guys check it out. But this, I guess, that they're a full team going forward, and this is a cool team. I like these two together. You know, Janela is really interesting because there were some really high hopes and high expectations for him coming into AEW. I mean, he was a huge star on the indies. You know, he's even ran a couple of promotions and a couple of events himself. So, you know, he's got a great mind for the business. And Sonny Kiss really hasn't done a whole lot on on Dynamite since it's launched. You know, he's kind of done most of his stuff on AEW Dark. I think a couple of matches here and there are in early Dynamite, but not a whole lot. But so I think this works out really good for both of them. It's going to give both of them some TV time. And I was really impressed with them in this match. I thought they looked like a great team. They've been working together for a while, working on some stuff. You know, their double team moves were in sync. They were very, very quick. And I was impressed with both these guys a whole lot. But on the other side, you know, you got Brody Lee and Colt Cabana, which we've seen their storyline for a couple of weeks kind of progress. You know, Colt went to Brody Lee for guidance, kind of, because Colt's been on this losing streak. Last week, Brody Lee gave some paperwork to Colt, and I guess it was a contract for this match this week where they'd be teaming together. So this is a very interesting match, and I can see the story that they're trying to tell with this, where, you know, Brody Lee's kind of dominating the match. Colt comes in, and Colt is kind of more even with their opponents, where he's kind of back and forth. You know, he'll be in peril, and when he gets in peril is when Brody Lee shows up and gives him the edge again. And that's kind of how this was the entire match. And at the end of it, Brody Lee hit the big discus clothesline on Janela and pretty much walked over to Colt Cabana and told him to take the pin. So Cabana slides in, gets the pin, and gets the victory for Brody Lee and himself. And, you know, it's a cool story, and I like what they're trying to tell, because it keeps you wondering, like, what's Brody Lee's intentions? Is he really trying to help Colt Cabana? Is he trying to, you know, add on to this cult type of group? You know, is he trying to just kind of build an army? Like what exactly is his intentions? And that's kind of the game that they're playing here. And in Colt Cabana's, he's still hesitant. He still doesn't know exactly what to do. But it's starting to look more and more like he's going to be taking the side of the Dark Order. And there's a bunch of different directions they could go with this. So I'm really curious and interested to see where they go. You know, Colt Cabana has been a fun loving comedy wrestler for pretty much his entire career. So if they were to kind of go this dark route with him and kind of give him this edge, it would be definitely a change for him from anything we've seen in his long career. So, you know, a big part of me wants to see that. Like, I want to see this other side of Colt Cabana and see what he can do. And also, I want to see what the Dark Order can do, adding these bigger names and growing. So I like it. I like what they're doing with the Dark Order, and I like that they're slow playing it too, because it's given the time to tell the story. So when the big reveal does happen of what Cabana is going to do, it's going to make it that much better. After the match, we had something kind of random happen. You know, Cabana's standing on the stage, and Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss are on the outside of the ring, kind of getting their wits about him. And all of a sudden, Lance Archer shows up and attacks Sonny Kiss and just starts laying in huge shots on him. And like, it hits a big hip toss on the outside. When he turns around, Janela throws a chair at him that hits him in the head, but he just kind of shrugs it off and just lays out Joey Janela. And then afterwards, Jake Roberts shows up and stops Archer and tells him that, you know, it's not worth it. They're done. You know, it's, you know, time to go pick on somebody else. And so they walk off. So kind of just a random beatdown here. It was odd. So I don't know if this is going to be a Lance Archer. He's not really have a feud going right now, but I guess he's just going to kind of attack random people and just be dominant. And I guess that works. That's kind of what Archer's good at. So, kind of very interesting. I don't know if this is going to be some kind of start of a storyline, with Sonny Kiss and Janela and Archer, but I don't know. We'll see. I do hope they do something with Archer soon. They might be waiting until after Fighter Fest, because, you know, kind of most of the big matches are kind of set right now, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they're going to do with all these teams and these wrestlers going forward. So up next, we get our big tag team match pitting SCU members Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels taking on the team of FTR. And this is a huge match that got made earlier today as we're recording this. It was originally supposed to be FTR versus the Natural Nightmares, but unfortunately QT Marshall came into contact with somebody that has COVID-19. So just for precautionary reasons, they're keeping QT Marshall at home. And to make up for it, they decided to make this match. And this is a match. This is kind of a dream match for me, guys, because, you know, you have one of the best teams in WWE for a long time taking on one of the best teams in Ring of Honor, in Impact, and so, you know, other organizations around the world. So this is a huge match for me. You know, and I wish there was a little more build to this, but that's okay though. That's kind of me being kind of nitpicking. But this match was a lot of fun. It was full of double team moves, everything you would expect from both these teams. I wish the match would have gone a little longer, but with it being said, it went like 15 minutes pretty close. But just with two teams this caliber, and as much as I love tag team wrestling, especially in AEW, I'm a little greedy, so I was hoping this match is going to go a little longer. But it was a really good match. you know, very, very back and forth. It did have a commercial break in the middle, and SCU was in control during it. But at the end of the match, FTR ends up getting the control, and they hit the Goodnight Express on Christopher Daniels to get the victory. So big victory here for FTR. Definitely their biggest victory to date in AEW. Just an impressive match by both teams. You know, SCU was the first AEW tag team champions, and you know, for them to put over FTR is big. You know, a big deal for FTR. That puts them right there, you know, in the mix for the tag team titles. After the match, though, I'm still kind of getting their names right. It's Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood. Dax Harwood gets the mic and just talks about how they're putting the rest of AEW tag team division on notice, and actually called themselves bad guys and took a shot at Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, saying that they're coming for Jungle Boy and his idiot dinosaur. So kind of the first heel thing we've seen FTR do, but they mentioned all the main tag teams, and you know, they said the top of the list is the Young Bucks, and you know, they're going to run through all of them, prove that they're the best tag team in the world. But then we hear the horn sound from their truck. The camera goes over, and it's the Butcher and the Blade in their vehicle. The Blade ends up issuing a challenge to FTR for an 8-man tag team match with FTR and the Young Bucks taking on the team of the Butcher and the Blade and the team that was in the ring standing behind FTR, the Lucha Bros. Yes, Pentagon has made his return to AEW. I'm really stoked for it. I'm a huge Pentagon fan. You know, I really haven't got to talk about him much because I started doing this podcast not long before the pandemic started. So I don't know if I've mentioned that I'm a huge Pentagon fan. I became a big fan of his in Lucha Underground. So I'm glad to see him back. And he and Phoenix attack FTR, and they hit their package pile driver double stomp combination to lay out Cash Wheeler. The Young Bucks come out to make the save, but it's too little too late. The Lucha Bros get away. They jump in the back of the vehicle with Butcher and Blade, and that sets up our big 8-man tag team match for next week. And I feel like that match is going to be absolutely incredible. I mean, so many great teams. We've seen the magic that the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros make together. And now that, you know, the Lucha Bros are back to full strength, they're here, the Bucks are now involved, but then you throw FTR and the Butcher and the Blade. Oh man, this match is going to be awesome. I didn't know this match was a possibility. I had no clue that Pentagon was coming back, but this match is going to be so much fun. All eight guys are just gonna leave it all out there, and it's going to be a spectacle for sure. Definitely a match I am looking forward to when it comes to Fyter Fest starting next week. After this, we get a video package highlighting the tag. Speaking of tag teams, highlighting the tag team title match at Fyter Fest between the champions Kenny Omega and Hangman Page against the Best Friends. And this was a fun video package. It was, you know, it wasn't super serious. There's a couple serious moments, but it was just, you know, the Best Friends being lighthearted and Omega and Page talking about how they're not really friends, but they are the two best wrestlers in AEW. They're the best tag team in AEW, and you know, it was interesting because obviously Hangman and Kenny are a great team, and they're on the same page for the most part, but they were kind of hinting at maybe there's some friction there still between these two guys, and that the Best Friends, you know, are best friends, and they're always on the same page, and that, you know, they're going to be coming in fully focused for this match. The best friends talked about how they have never held tag team titles in any of the companies they've been in, so they're not going to let this opportunity go to waste. So big time match, big fight feel after this video package. This, you know, this really got me hyped for next week, because I think they said that the tag team title match is going to main event night one of Fyter Fest. I'm sorry. So that's going to be the main event for next week's show. And man, there's a bunch of different directions they could go. I guess since this is the go home show, I'll make my picks at the end of the night of all the Fyter Fest matches. But as of right now, I don't have one. It's very, it's a coin flip. I can see it going either way. There's so many elements to factor into this match, and I think it's going to be an awesome tag team match. The Best Friends have been on fire lately. They've looked incredible. You know, Hangman and Kenny, of course, are a great team. So it's going to be an awesome tag team match. I'm so looking forward to it. But by the end of the podcast, I will give you guys my predictions for all the matches for Fyter Fest, including the tag team title match. So up next, we get the entrance of the Machine, Brian Cage, along with Taz. He is in action, and he was actually started this match off so quickly, I didn't even get the name of his opponent, but this was just absolute destruction by Brian Cage. He was throwing this guy all over the ring, ends up hitting a what's the best way to explain it? So they're on the outside and they're on the stage pretty much. Brian Cage picks this man up and power bombs him from outside of the ring, over the ropes, back into the ring, and just throws him. I mean, a good 10 feet. It was a crazy display of power. And Brian Cage ends up hitting his finisher, the modified Steiner screwdriver, and gets the victory. So just, complete squash, big time destruction by Brian Cage, getting him ready for his Fighter Fest match with the AEW World Champion, John Moxley. Taz gets on the mic and cuts a pretty great promo here. Just a lot of intensity. We've seen Taz have some intensity in promos before, but this was one of his best. And he was pretty much just dogging on Moxley for being at home, saying that, he may feel like he's at home for a good reason, but the best reason is because if he was here, he would get destroyed by Cage, and just pretty much went off completely on Moxley. So awesome promo here by Taz. I can't do it any justice, so it's gonna be all for it's gonna be up to you guys to go and listen to this promo. It was pretty awesome, but I'm really hyped for this match. They did a really good job of building Cage up. I mean, coming in and winning the ladder match right off the bat, destroying all of his opponents, becoming this huge credible force for the championship. I'm all in for it. I love it. I love this match. I think these guys are gonna have a great match together. Very interesting styles, but that's kind of my opinion on a lot of Moxley matches, because his style is so different compared to other guys. Cage can brawl, but he's more of kind of the technical wrestler type. He does throw some decent strikes, but a lot of power moves and stuff like that. And Moxley's a brawler, so definitely going to be an interesting clash of styles here between the two guys, but I think the match is going to be a lot of fun. And I'll give you guys my breakdown here at the end of the show. After this, we get Tony Schiavone gets a message from Britt Baker, and Britt Baker is talking trash about Big Swole again. And Britt actually has this plexiglass protective glass around her where nobody can get to her because of what happened to her last week. She ends up calling Big Swole the biggest piece of garbage on the roster, and that brings Big Swole out. And of course, Britt's talking trash to her because she can't get to her, saying she's protected. And Big Swole ends up getting on top of the vehicle because there's no roof on the plexiglass. Big Swole gets on top of the vehicle and dumps a bunch of garbage onto Britt inside the plexiglass. So it was pretty funny. It was a funny segment. Britt sold it like crazy. And I love that they're giving this feud a lot of time on TV, even with Britt's injury. And I know I've said this through the last couple of weeks, but it seems like the Britt's probably getting closer to returning. It's been about 5 weeks now, and they said it was about an 8-week timetable. So hopefully Britt will be back very, very soon, and we can start getting, a physical build to this match coming up, because I think it's going to be a good one for both of them. So, fun little segment. Big Swole keeps getting her what-up-its on Britt Baker, but, I know when Britt is healthy, she's going to get hers. So that's going to be good. That's going to be a fun build to their match. So we go to the back where we see Mr. Brody Lee with Colt Cabana, and Brody Lee's telling Cabana that pretty much that he's proud of him, and that Colt was able to get a big victory, and that he told him what he needed to do, and that he was right. And Colt kind of agreed with him. And Brody Lee dropped some big news that at Fyter Fest, it's going to be the Dark Order taking on SCU. And we actually found out that the members of Dark Order will be Mr. Brody Lee, Stu Grayson, and Colt Cabana, taking on all three members of SCU. So another big tag team match. AEW full of tag team wrestlers, and it's the best tag team division in the world. I've said it over and over again. I'll say it most podcasts, but I know you guys see it. If you guys watch, AEW, you guys know how good the tag division is. So, big match, big six-man tag match coming at Fyter Fest, and I'll go ahead and say I expect the Dark Order to win this match. Either that or Stu Grayson will get pinned, and we can kind of start seeing that maybe that Colt Cabana is going to become the teacher's pet, I guess, of of Brody Lee, which might start a little bit of friction between Stu Grayson and Brody Lee. But we'll see. We'll see when it comes to that match. But I'll go ahead and throw a prediction out there and tell you guys that I expect the Dark Order to win that match, because they're going to start wanting to get Colt Cabana over to get him more acclimated with the Dark Order. So I'll go ahead and go out on a limb on this one and say that I picked the Dark Order to win that match. So up next, we get a singles match pitting Santana from the Inner Circle taking on Broken Matt Hardy. There was actually a poll earlier in the night asking which type of Matt Hardy we would see in this match, and it ended up being Broken Matt Hardy, the Damascus version. The fans voted on it and decided that that's what they wanted to see. This match was originally supposed to be Sammy Guevara taking on Matt Hardy, but as we know, Sammy Guevara got suspended indefinitely for the foreseeable future, so this is the match they went with instead. And this was a fun little match. Not a whole lot to really break down in this match. It was back and forth between both guys. I thought Santana looked pretty good in parts. Matt Hardy, you know, it's kind of the same story with him in each match. You know, he looks really good for his age, and you know, he can hang in there with some of the younger guys. And you know, it was a fun match. There was, you know, nothing that really was mind blowing or anything, but you know, it was fun. It was fun for what it was. And Matt Hardy ended up getting the victory with a roll-up. And after the match, Ortiz attacks Matt Hardy from behind, and Santana joins in. And as they're beating down Matt Hardy, Private Party makes a save as Santana and Ortiz bail the ring. And they announce that Santana Ortiz will take on Private Party at Fighter Fest. I have the list of Fighter Fest pulled up, and this match isn't listed on there yet. But they did announce this match during the show. So I will go ahead and say I'm picking Santana and Ortiz in that match. You know, it's going to be a fun match. I like both teams a lot. They've wrestled before, and they got really good chemistry. But I think I'm going to go with Santana and Ortiz in this one. I think they want to get a little bit of momentum back behind the Inner Circle again, especially with another big match being that night that I'm going to talk about. And I think Santana and Ortiz need to get some momentum for the Inner Circle, so I'm going to pick them to win that match. But you know, fun little match here with Santana and Matt Hardy. Good showcase for Santana, because we don't get to see him in singles action very often, and to be in there with a veteran like Matt Hardy is just going to help him out and make him get better. So overall, yeah, good segment. Really enjoyed it. All right, it is main event time, guys, and our main event this week is a face-off between Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy. Yeah, you heard me right. It's a very interesting matchup coming up at Fighter Fest between these two guys. They've been building it for a while, over the last month or so. And this is one of the bigger matches on the card. Jericho has been working with some younger talent quite a bit, you know, and he's really put over some, including Sammy Guevara, who he's in the same group as, but just having that Chris Jericho rub has really helped him out a lot. Pineapple P, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, we've seen all these guys work with Chris Jericho, and it's just made their career better. It's just helped them out, you know, put them on the fast track of becoming superstars. And in my opinion, Orange Cassidy's already a superstar. But getting this big match, this big spotlight with Chris Jericho is just going to help him out even more. And Orange Cassidy is an interesting cat. And as you guys know, I'm becoming a big fan of his. He's different. And Chris Jericho talked about that during this face-off, where he said that he respects Orange Cassidy because Orange Cassidy did something that nobody thought was possible anymore, and that's be different. Everybody says that everything in pro wrestling has been done, that nothing new can be done again. And Orange Cassidy kind of proved it wrong and proved that, you know, there is still, if you think outside the box, you can still be something original and be something entertaining. And that's what Orange Cassidy is. And Jericho told him he respected him for that. But he said that he got out of his lane by messing with Le Champion. And he said that he actually told Orange Cassidy, if you do your little kicks to my thigh, that I will knock your teeth down your throat. And he said he'll beat him in 30 seconds if he does that. Jericho was about to talk more, but Cassidy took the microphone away from him, and Cassidy's about to speak, and then he just slowly put the microphone down and did the little kicks to Jericho's leg. Jericho called him out on it, and Orange Cassidy called his bluff. And Jericho didn't deck Orange Cassidy, but he did take off Orange Cassidy's Ray-Ban sunglasses, and he destroyed him. Well, that was enough to send Orange Cassidy over the edge. He double legs Jericho, starts throwing big punches, kind of like we saw last week. And these guys had an all-out brawl. They brawled around the ring, or they brawled in the ring, they brawled around the ring, and then they went into the stands and started brawling with each other. And this was a good, this was the better brawls I've seen just between two people, you know, without a whole bunch of other people getting involved, that just two guys just going at it. Normally we see the Inner Circle get involved and it's like a 5-on-2, 5-on-3, 5-on-1 sometimes, but this time it was just Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho, and it was really, excuse me, really, really well done. And they go to the top of Daly's place, and Jericho ends up using the cranes that hold the cameras, ends up using one of them and hits Orange Cassidy in the face with it. Well, I guess it caught his ear or something caught his ear, because Orange Cassidy's ear got busted open during this and was bleeding quite a bit. Orange Cassidy ended up getting the upper hand and staggered Jericho on top of this, I guess it was like an electrical crate in a way, but Cassidy goes up these stairs, takes off running, and hits a Superman punch on Jericho that sends Jericho off of the crate through a table, and Jericho's laid out as Orange Cassidy stands tall to end Dynamite this week. This was fun. This was, you know, like I said, it's been a while since we've seen just a one-on-one brawl between two guys. And this did a lot for Orange Cassidy, in my opinion. This shows that he can hang with Chris Jericho, that if it comes down to a brawl, that he can hold his own. You know, in the ring, we know how good Orange Cassidy is. We've seen him move around the ring and how fast he is, how smooth he is. We saw that against Pac. We've seen it against other opponents. But we hadn't seen this brawling side of Orange Cassidy yet. But he's shown that he can go, that he's not afraid to get his hands dirty and bring the fight to somebody. So I really enjoyed this a lot. This was great for Orange Cassidy. I'll get to my pick for that match here in a bit. That match is going to be on night two. I don't have the breakdown in front of me exactly of which match is going to be on which night. They told us, but I don't have it in front of me exactly what the breakdown of both nights are. But there's going to be a bunch of good matches though. And it's going to be two stacked cards for sure. And it's 2 weeks starting next week, July 1st and July 7th. So Fyter Fest is going to be a big deal, guys. It's not on pay-per-view. It's going to be free, which is great. You know, free wrestling is always the best. And AEW is going to put on two great cards. And, you know, I expect NXT to counter with something. I really do. And so I'll tell you guys, I'm expecting two good weeks of wrestling the next 2 weeks. It's going to be stacked. There's going to be great matches from top to bottom on both shows. But, you know, this is the Dynamite show. You know, we also have a great breakdown of the of NXT on this feed as well. So you guys make sure you go give that a listen too, because it's definitely worth it. But with that being said, guys, that is it for AEW Dynamite for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed Dynamite. But before we go, I do want to give a couple of predictions on some matches for Fyter Fest. There's a bunch of big matches, like I said. It's going on for two nights, starting next Wednesday and then the Wednesday after. And man, this is going to be great. There are every title is on the line. All four championships are up for grabs, and a couple of singles matches as well. We'll start with a tag team match with Jurassic Express as Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus taking on MJF and Wardlow. As you guys know, there's been a lot of bad blood between these two teams, between all these guys. This is a match I figured was going to get made, but they announced it earlier tonight on Dynamite. With this one, I'm going to go with MJF and Wardlow. I think they keep their momentum going. MJF's still undefeated for the most part. Hadn't been pinned or submitted. And I mentioned earlier that Wardlow is, you know, besides the match with Jericho, if I'm not mistaken, he hasn't lost a match either. So I don't see them losing this match. I don't think it hurts Jungle Boy or Luchasaurus at all. But you want to keep the momentum of MJF and Wardlow going. So I'm going to pick them to win this match. For the AEW Women's Championship, I got Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford with Kip Sabian. And I'm going to go with Shida to retain on this one. She hadn't had the title real long. You know, we talked about everything she did during the pandemic when they recorded, like, what, 8 episodes in one day, something like that. And she was kind of a staple on that. I think her getting the title is pretty much the AEW's appreciation for all the hard work that she did. And she's really done a good job of getting herself over. She's a great champion. And I take nothing away from Penelope Ford. I think this is going to be a really good match. But I do think it's going to be Shida retaining, and I feel pretty strongly about that. For the AEW TNT Championship, we have the champion Cody taking on Jake Hager. And this is a match I talked about earlier with this press conference. And I feel like this is going to be a very physical match. Both guys are going to come out throwing hard lumber. Of course, Cody will bleed because Cody bleeds in every match that he's in. So I think this is going to be fun. This could be a sleeper match over the next 2 weeks. And I'm going to say Cody retains. I know I mentioned earlier that Hager could win the title, and I do feel like that it could happen, but I still feel like it's going to be a younger talent. It's going to be somebody we're kind of not expecting to be the one to take that title off of Cody, or maybe even MJF, you know, to kind of still be a thorn in Cody's side. But I think this is going to be kind of a statement win for Cody, where he beats the bigger, stronger Jake Hager and shows that, you know, he can wrestle the little guys. When it comes to facing the big guys, he can hang too, which we saw that with him against Lance Archer. But I do expect Cody to retain his title here. In a singles match, we get the aforementioned Lance Archer taking on Joey Janela. We saw earlier with Janela getting jumped by Archer, Janela and Sonny Kiss both getting jumped, and it's going to lead to a match between Joey Janela and Lance Archer. This one's pretty easy. I'm going to go with Lance Archer. I don't see any way Janela wins this match. It's going to be, I feel like it's going to be complete domination by Lance Archer. Just another big squash match for him, which I kind of hate because I'm such a big Joey Janela fan. I think he's awesome, but you want to keep your monster strong and you want to keep, you know, Archer moving forward. So I think this is going to be a pretty dominant win for Lance Archer. Former AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose will be making her return. We haven't seen her in a couple weeks, but she will be in action. They didn't say who she's going to be against, but they did hint that she has a big surprise for everybody. I don't know what that is. I have no clue. But it's going to be on night one. We're going to find out what that is. So Nyla Rose will be in action, and we'll find out what she, you know, what she's got going on. Our big six-man tag match, we have SCU taking on the Dark Order, which is going to consist of Brody Lee, Stu Grayson, and Colt Cabana. I think I gave my pick on this earlier, but I'm going to go with the Dark Order. I think they want to kind of solidify Colt Cabana in the group, and a big win against SCU will do that. This is going to be kind of a losing streak for SCU, though. I don't know if they're going to start maybe having a little dissension between them. I still think the big breakout for Scorpio Sky is coming, that he's going to get that big singles run, and they're going to have to find a way to do it. So maybe a little bit of dissension between the guys might start that. But I do expect the Dark Order to win that match. Our huge 8-man tag team match with FTR and the Young Bucks taking on the Butcher and the Blade and the returning Lucha Bros. This might be the match I'm looking forward to the most, guys, out of everything on this card. They just announced this match tonight. It's going to be massive. It's going to be fast. It's going to be high-flying. If you guys like the AEW tag team style, this is what it's going to be, even with FTR being involved, because, you know, FTR are the more ground, you know, ground game type wrestlers. But anytime you have the Lucha Bros and you have the Young Bucks in the same ring, I mean, there's going to be fireworks. They're going to be flying everywhere. And I know that Pentagon's going to want to come out and make a statement because we haven't seen him in so long. So I expect him to come out and have an awesome showing. This could be the match of the next 2 weeks, guys. I think it's definitely got that potential. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to go with FTR and the Young Bucks to win this one. I think this one's pretty much a lock. I don't see FTR losing yet. I don't see the Young Bucks losing because, you know, they're going to build these two teams up as the two best tag teams in the world. I could see the Lucha Bros maybe walking out on Butcher and Blade or something like that, maybe vice versa. Something's going to happen with them where there's some dissension between those teams, and FTR and the Young Bucks will take advantage and they'll get the win. And then, you know, we still won't know who the better tag team is because the two that say they're the best are both going to be victorious. So we're just going to keep heading towards the Young Bucks versus FTR, which I do expect it all out this year, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I am expecting FTR and the Young Bucks to win that match. Speaking of tag teams, we got the tag team championship match, Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page taking on the Best Friends. This is a big match, guys, and this has a lot of moving parts in it. We saw a great video package on Dynamite tonight highlighting this match. And, you know, they're not shying away from the fact that there is a little bit of problems between Omega and Page. And they even said, we're not friends, but we're the two best wrestlers and the best tag team in AEW, and we're the champions. So, you know, that's going to be enough for us to get this victory. But the Best Friends are like, hey, we are best friends. We're the hottest tag team in wrestling right now. We're on a huge winning streak, and we're coming for those titles, and we're going to get them. So This is a tough one. This is, I could see the best friends winning this match. I really could. I don't think it's time yet. I don't think it's time to take them off Omega and Page. I think that big split is still coming. I think they're waiting for to see if crowds are going to come back, because if you're going to do the big turn, it's got to be in front of a crowd. It's got to be in front of that hostile AEW crowd. Maybe even the first night that an arena could get at full capacity, that's when you do it. As much as I love the best friends, and they might be my favorite tag team in all of AEW, and I'd love to see them as champions, I don't think it's time yet. I still think it's going to be Omega and Page. They're going to find a way to get this done and retain the titles. It's going to be an awesome match, though. I'm so excited for this one. As much as I'm excited for the 8-man tag, when it comes to a legitimate tag team match with a team versus a team, this is it for me. This is a huge match, and I love all four guys in this match. So I'm expecting fireworks, but I do expect Kenny Omega and Heyman Adam Page to retain the titles. All right, that takes us to our main event, guys. Main event of night two, which will be the AEW World Championship, the champion John Moxley taking on Brian Cage. I expect this to be a very, very physical match. I think there could be blood involved. It's going to be hard hitting. It's going to go to the outside. It's going to be all over Daly's place. I'm expecting very similar of a match that we saw between Moxley and Brody Lee, but maybe even a little more physical, just because Brian Cage is more of a physical specimen. And as much as I love Brody Lee, Brian Cage is he's more athletic. You know, he throws, more strikes. He moves around a little faster. And I think this is going to be a fast paced match. Even, Moxley's matches tend to be a little more methodical, but I expect this to be a pretty fast paced match, very hard hitting. But with that said, I don't think there's any way Moxley loses the title here. Brian Cage has gotten the upper hand on Moxley quite a bit. All the trash talk, the throwing him into the car, standing tall. I think Moxley gets this done. I think he holds on to the title. I still don't think it's time yet. I don't know who will be next after Brian Cage, but I think what they wanted to do is bring Brian Cage in and make him a legitimate threat right off the bat. They had him win the casino ladder match, and he's looked strong every single week leading up to this match. And I think what it's going to do is it's just going to help John Moxley. It's going to make people think, dang, like he beat the machine. He beat the unbeatable Brian Cage. Who's going to beat Moxley? Who's going to be that guy? And I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I still think Moxley Omega has some unfinished business, but Omega is busy with the tag team title match and with the tag team titles. And I did pick Omega and Page to hold on to the title, so I don't see that coming. But I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with Moxley from here. Maybe MJF, if they don't go MJF and Cody for the TNT title. I could see MJF and Moxley being the next big feud. That would be great. That could be the big title match for All Out. But I feel pretty confident saying that John Moxley is going to retain the title against Brian Cage at Fyter Fest. All right, guys, well, that's my predictions. Tell me what you guys think. You guys can mention me on Twitter. I'm at Run With Turtles. If you guys want to talk about Fyter Fest, talk about Dynamite, give your predictions. Let me know what you guys think, and we'll compare and contrast. We'll have a little debate, friendly debate, of course. Don't want to ruffle any feathers or anything. There's enough negativity and enough stuff going on Twitter right now that, let's try to have some fun. Let's make some positive vibes out there for a bit, because I know, they're kind of few and far between right now, unfortunately, with everything going on in professional wrestling and around the world. So, let's try to make some lighthearted stuff. Pro wrestling is supposed to be lighthearted, and with all the allegations coming out and all the stories coming out, I know there's been kind of this really big dark cloud put over pro wrestling, but there's still some good stuff out there and some good stuff that can be talked about. So, hey, you guys hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you guys think of the podcast. Let me know what you think of Dynamite, Fyter Fest coming up. We'll chop shop, and I'd love to hear from you guys. So make sure you guys hit me up. All right, guys, before we finish up, though, I got to tell you guys to make sure you subscribe to the WWE podcast on all of your podcasting platforms: Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get all your podcasts. And you guys on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave a 5-star review. I know you guys have been showing a lot of love to the NXT show, and I love that, I'm glad it's getting great reviews. It's an awesome show. I love it. And you guys keep it up, keep giving us those reviews, keep giving the good word out, and we're very, very appreciative of it. So make sure you guys keep doing that. And until next week, guys, I hope you guys have a great one. Stay safe out there, and I will see you guys at Fyter Fest. Have a good one.